Okay, it's Wednesday, 12/29/21. A no-nonsense look at the book of Revelation. The title is called The Alien Deception. Satan is the alien invader in the earth. That's where they cooked up their whole plan. What we're seeing play out today, aliens and UFOs, it's all in the narrative. It's all over the place. And even Christians are duped. I've heard Christians talk about, if you believe in the globular earth, and we're, I don't know how many miles an hour we're spinning out of control, but we don't feel it. If you believe that, then I guess you'll just about believe anything and everything. I mean, that's why we were taught in school. They propagandized us in school that everything that God's Word says, they came up with something to counter it. Anything to discredit God in any way, to make His people look like fools. They make fun of flat earthers all the time. But what they don't understand, even Christians, they don't read their Bibles. You can go especially read through the Old Testament, and I've got stuff underlined all through my Bible that shows plainly the earth is flat. Even the first chapter of the whole Bible, Genesis, talks about the firmament. And how it is. There's no space. It's water up there. Okay. So he was knocked out of heaven with a third of the angels with him. Revelation 12. Verse 7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. See, God didn't put up with what we put up with. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He has deceived the whole world. He's dominated all seven mountains of influence. And the great dragon was cast out, and the old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. This was the alien invasion. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They loved not their life to the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. So, he is making war against us. Like I said, he's polluted everything. They're getting younger and younger in school, pushing things like textbooks for little ones. We're talking 5, 6, 7, 8 with pictures that have illustrated pictures of homosexual pedophilia. That's why the parents are having to stand up in the school board and running these skanks out. I mean, they've had to. You talk about alien invasion. It's the truth. We've been invaded by aliens. It's just not what they think. First thing the Lord ever said to me about them, he said, they're interdimensionals. They make their homes in the rocks, underground, in the dark. Yeah, they ought to be, get comfortable there because they're going to be there. For 1,000 years, coming up real shortly, they're going to be there. Then they're going to burn in another pit forever. All right. We do not have a timeline on when this alien invasion occurred. We don't know how many times humanity has come to the brink of extinction. We don't know. But we know by what God saw in Genesis 1 after he made the earth, without whatever they did, it was without form or void. That tells me they destroyed everything. And we don't know how long Adam was in the earth before he was tempted. We don't know. Now you can read some extra books that kind of fill you in, but we don't really know if that is the truth or not. So I guess it doesn't really matter. It happened. It happened again. But this last time was the time God said he wouldn't flood the earth again. Why? Because he was going to let it play out and it'd be Armageddon. This was Satan's last hoorah, last whatever culture, whatever type of beings, dinosaurs, I don't know. I don't know. Only God knows. The earth could be millions of years old. I just know man's been here 6,000 years. So God had to remake the earth. Basically, because of the alien invasion and because the devil, well, what they always do, they prey on men. Their objective is to what? John 10:10, steal, kill, destroy. And that's all they do. That's all they know how to do. And that's all they've been doing since they've been here. All right. This is not rocket science. It's clearly laid out in God's Word who they are and what their agenda is. Everything that these Decepticons, anybody see the Transformers? The very first, I saw the first one and I liked it. The ones that were the deceivers, the bad guys, were called the Decepticons. Some more brainwashing from movies. Decepticons have done throughout all the ages. It's all a lie. Everything that they spew forth are lies because their father is the one that can't tell the truth. He's the father of lies. It amazes me the boatload of crap so-called experts believe. All this hogwash about the spherical earth, the fast planets that house all kinds of alien races. So the vast, not fast, vast. And some of the, I think, I can't remember exactly where it's listed about the Pleiades and Orion and all these things. Well, these are stars. These are not planets with people on them because they talk about the Pleiadians. I'm thinking, you're being visited by demonic entities. The first man that was ever visited by demonic entities was Aleister Crowley. Started the Luciferian Church. This alien came to him in his dream. The alien's name was Lamb, L-A-M. He drew a picture of what Lamb looked like. He had the big melon head. Demon! Yeah, demon. Okay. All right. The Bible does not bear this out. It is all a lie. All the mainstream media, movie companies are all deceived in all their false narratives to brainwash us all from the truth. Satan is the father of lies and there is no truth in him. That is what Jesus said about him when he was here. Nothing has changed. Everything that Hollywood, the MSM, and all the corporations, they're all a part of the deception. They thought we would follow their stars. Hollywood. the sportsters, the politicians. They thought we would follow them. But no, they're falling, or so Revelation says. The pet peeve actors and companies, athletes, they thought that we would just be led by like sheep to the slaughter. We just follow them into anything. And there was a time that probably most people would, and some people have. But God, thank God for God. All right. It has been foretold about his shenanigans by the prophets for thousands of years. God knows the end from the beginning. He is letting us know what is going on so that we will not be caught up in any of it. All through the old covenant, God was talking about this day we're coming to. I brought this up last week. I brought it up two or three times about going through the Old Testament and looking how many times it talks about when the moon turns to blood and the stars fall from heaven. We're in the time the stars falling. A lot of them are falling dead on the field by their Decepticon. They're falling. Have you noticed a lot of the movie stars that you used to see, you hadn't heard from them for months? Lots of them. You just don't hear about it. You don't see much about movie stuff. Well, I don't watch television or anything like that. But anyway. All right, he's been able to fool a lot of people, but he has never fooled God. I'm so glad he's looking out for us. Okay. If we will just stay in his word and listen to his spirit, we have nothing to be afraid of. This is 2 Chronicles 16:9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Jesus said this in Matthew 10:26. Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed and hid that shall not be known. Luke 8:17. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. In other words, abroad means it's going to be blasted all over the flat earth. Luke 12:2-3. There's nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever you have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light. All their secret meetings, all their underground satanic rituals, and all the horrible things they've done. And that which ye have spoken in the ear in closet shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. It doesn't make any difference if the military wants to bring out full disclosure or not, or what they think. God says it's going to be shouted from the housetops. And I believe God's word. They don't have control. This is about God. This is about the end. This is about him taking care of this renegade. It's not about the military or Q or even President Trump. They're just players in the game. God is using them. But God is the one that everybody gives the account to. This is going to be God's doing. This is God's plan, not the plans of men, and we will have disclosure according to God's word. They think we are so stupid, but they are truly the ones that are. To think they will get away with all of this just because for 6,000 years they have. This is reckoning day. All right, I'm going to read to you Zechariah 5. I believe Zechariah 5 describes an alien base. Their alien base, the three city states, Babylon. All right, Zechariah 5:1. And then I turned and lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a flying roll. I call this the mothership. And he said unto me, have you been hearing about that, the mothership? I've heard that on several occasions. And he said unto me, what seest thou? And I answered, I see a flying roll. The length thereof is 20 cubits, and the breadth thereof 10 cubits. I figured this out at one time. It was something like bigger than a football field. Anyway, Then said he unto me, This is the curse that goeth forth over the face of the whole earth. For every one that stealeth shall be cut off as on this side according to it. And every one that sweareth shall be cut off as on that side according to it. I will bring it forth, saith the Lord of hosts, and it shall enter into the house of the thief and into the house of him that sweareth falsely by my name. And it shall remain in the midst of his house, and shall consume it with the timber thereof and the stones thereof. Then the angel that talked with me went forth and said unto me, Lift up now thine eyes and see what is this that goeth forth. And I said, What is it? And he said, This is an ephah that goeth forth. He said, Moreover, this is their resemblance through all the earth. Now an ephah looks like a flying saucer, has a little lid. And behold, there lifted up a talent of lead, and this is a woman that sitteth in the midst of the ephah. This is like a UFO anti-gravity ship we're talking about here. But this woman, think about Jezebel. And he said, This is wickedness. And he cast it into the midst of the ephah, and he cast the weight of lead upon the mouth thereof. Then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, there came out two women. And the wind was in their wings, for they had wings like the wings of a stork, and they lifted up the ephah between the earth and the heaven. You know, all the UFO sightings we've been having since, like, they say some of it goes back to the 1800s even. Then said I to the angel that talked with me, Whither do these bear the ephah? And he said unto me, To build a house in the land of Shinar. Where's Shinar? And it shall be established and set there upon her own base. Shinar's Babylon. So Babylon is the base of this alien invasion. They've hijacked the Vatican. I have a book in there that talks about how much UFO activity there is over the Vatican. Okay, I hope y'all see that. I thought about Antarctica, because this is what happened with Admiral Byrd. He saw all this stuff. He saw the anti-gravity ships. He even saw the hybrids, or whatever you want to call them. They spoke with a German accent. But he was looking for Nazi underground bases then. Before World War II, they had this technology. His ship was intercepted by two of these ships, anti-gravity ships. He said it took their control away. They didn't have to do anything. It just lashed on just like Star Trek. Landed him. He went in and talked with the leader. Got back in his ship. They escorted him out. And the government thought he was a nut. He was sworn to secrecy. He couldn't tell them the truth about what all he had seen. What I read was part of his diary. Tall, Nordic-looking people with blonde hair. Tall. We're talking tall. 9-10 foot tall. Do I believe it was real? Yes, I do. I do. It's their deception. Why do you think they've hidden Antarctica? Why do you think no airlines or aircraft can fly over Antarctica without clearance? No one can go to Antarctica, just go to Antarctica. You have to be cleared with the government to be able to go. And usually, if you go, you have to be with some kind of scientific expedition to do so. They say there's a ship frozen in the ice that's over a mile long. That's a pretty big ship, isn't it? Frozen in the ice. I have something to read you about that. All right. Alien base with anti-gravity technology set up in Babylon. What is happening in Babylon? What's going to happen to Babylon? Revelation chapter 16. Start with verse 17. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, "It is done." And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of her wrath. This is London, the Vatican, D.C. And every island fled away, the mountains were not found, and there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven. This may be the rods of God, because they are targets. The Vatican's a target. I'm sure London's a target. I know D.C. is a target. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. Timber. Then Matt chapter 17 goes on, talks about, there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, "Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore." Remember, the ship was lifted up by these two women with wings. These are spirits. "The great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness. I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. Upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth." Now you know why Jesus rebuked the seven churches. So many of them had, they were all messed up in this stuff. "And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration." What is their main harvest? Our children's blood. She's drunk with that blood. In fact, they're so drunk with it that they're eat up with it. "And the angel said unto me, Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and ten horns. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition." See, these aren't aliens from another planet. This is Satan. Because he was kicked out and come to the earth. And this is what he's done. "And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. Here's the mind which hath wisdom. Seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth." I told you, that is Rome, but it's also the seven mountains of influence, completely infiltrated. All right. 18, verse 18. "And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth." Okay. Jesus spoke to John concerning the seven churches, and he spoke about the Jezebel spirit. Remember the flying saucer with the woman. Revelation 2, 6, 9, 13 and 14, 20 and 23 address that Babylonian spirit, Jezebel. All right, more on the alien agenda. All right, from the book of Enoch. "The alien UFO stuff is all demonic. So many Christians have been duped by this. Why won't they use our handbook? That handbook will help with anything you will encounter in life. These fallen angels with this extra knowledge," remember the extraterrestrials? Hath God said, I got extra knowledge that God didn't tell you. Caused her to completely forget what God said and follow what the serpent said. Remember, terrestrial, it just means heavenly dimension. Tsimshian taught enchantments and root cuttings. That's Big Pharma. Barak, I can't even pronounce her names, taught astrology. Another one taught about the constellations. A side note here, all the dumbs are laid out like the constellations. They found the dumbs by following the star charts. This is how the army has been able to locate them. One taught the knowledge of the clouds, weather warfare, harp. One taught the signs of the earth. One taught the signs of the sun. Think NASA, which means deception in Hebrew, or better known as NASA. All the secret space programs, where all of our tax dollars have gone. One taught the course of the moon. What did the first thing they do? They circled the Earth, they say. What they did is they just went in lower Earth's orbit if they did anything. They couldn't get past the dome. But then they went to the moon. See, this extraterrestrial taught them about the moon. Just think about it. All this extra knowledge that God did not let us in on, just like Eve was deceived, so are many today. They've just fallen right in step. See, they've been doing it for so long, they have that entitlement thing. Just watch how they act. They just keep pushing, pushing. They never stop. They won't stop until they're dead or they're thrown in the pit. This was Paul's biggest concern during his time, because he knew his departure was close, and he said this, "But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." It's all in here for anybody to read. If Carla Love can sit and pray and the Holy Spirit can show me these things, He can show anybody these things. The truth, the real truth, is simply laid out in black and white for all to see. All right, now let's go to Zechariah 6. Very next chapter. We're going to see the companion to it in Revelation 6, verses 1 through 8. Each one, Zechariah 6, 1 through 8. Revelation 6, 1 through 8. "And I turned and lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, there came four chariots out from between two mountains. And the mountains were mountains of brass." Brass, from what I understand, represents humanity. Mountains, a lot of times, are masses of people. "And the first chariot were red horses, and the second chariot black horses, the third chariot white horses, the fourth chariot grizzled and bay horses. Then I answered and said unto the angel that talked with me, What are these, my Lord? And the angel answered and said unto me, These are the four spirits of the heavens which go forth from standing before the Lord of all the earth. The black horses which are wherein go forth into the north country. The white go forth after them, and the grizzled go forth toward the south country. And the bay went forth and sought to go that they might walk to and fro through the earth. And he said, Get ye hence, walk to and fro through the earth. So they walked to and fro through the earth. Then cried he upon me and spake unto me, saying, Behold, these that go toward the north country have quieted my spirit in the north country." All right, Revelation 6. This is the unsealing of the seals. Verse 1, "And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, Come and see. And behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, Come and see. And then went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat upon thereon to take peace from the earth, that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. Now remember the red beast that we've already read about. Communism and socialism. When he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see, and behold, lo, a black horse. He that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. See thou hurt not the oil and the wine. When he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked and beheld a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was death. And hell followed with him, and power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword and with hunger and with death and with the beast of the earth. This lockdown, that is their intent. I'm going to read to you some intel that kind of explains that a little bit more. 6,000 years worth of killing, stealing, and destroying. The stock market, the black horse, that sounds like a stock report to me. Always looking to see how much things are up or things are down. It's all a scam. All of it. All deception. Religion. Communism. Capitalism. Focus always on money. If you ever read that book, The Beast from Jekyll Island, like I said, it's about this thick, and I've been reading it for at least 6 months, and I've got... It is tedious, but it goes into how they have stolen our money all through the ages. Every kind of scam that you could just even think about. It's a real eye-opener, even though it's very hard to get through. All right. The book of Enoch. And all others together with them took unto themselves wives, and each chose for himself one. And they began to go in unto them and to defile themselves with them, and they taught them charms and enchantments and cutting of roots, and made them acquainted with plants, and they became pregnant, and they bare great giants whose height was 3,000 ells, who consumed all the acquisitions of men, and when men could no longer sustain them, the giants turned against them and devoured mankind. And they began to sin against birds and beasts and reptiles and fish and to devour one another's flesh and drink the blood. Seems nothing has changed. Two of the things that the Lord showed me personally about right before I knew anything was pray against the spirit of cannibalism. Then one day he spoke to me about adrenochrome, Monsters, Inc. This is our true history, horrible history. We so need this 1,000-year time of peace to be free from all of this horror. And people say, oh, we ain't gone through the tribulation yet. I'm going, you're a moron. You are just an absolute moron. And if the shoe fits, wear it. I mean, I'm telling you. One last point. Antarctica and full disclosure. I'm going to read you a little bit. I don't agree totally with everything this man said, but he's got some good points. Antarctica and imprisoned falling angels from the book of Enoch. They found them, they say. This is written by Michael Sala on April the 4th, 2017. On March 14th, Israeli News Live published a provocative story titled The Fallen Angels Imprisoned in Antarctica and are still alive. They're in this big ship that's frozen. Yeah. The commentator, Steve Ben Nunn, analyzed the apocryphal Book of Enoch, which describes the experiences of Enoch, a pre-Diluvian biblical figure who was taken into the heavens to witness and play a key role in a major celestial conflict. Enoch became the principal intermediary between two sides of the conflict between the fallen angels and the righteous angels, serving an all-knowing deity referred to as the Lord. There were multiple issues in the conflict, such as fallen angels interbreeding and/or performing genetic experiments with humanity and passing on forbidden knowledge and technologies to the still-developing human civilization. The book of Enoch begins with the arrival of 200 fallen angels in the area of Mount Hermon, which borders modern-day Lebanon and Syria. The fallen angels begin interbreeding and are genetically modifying the local inhabitants. They're still trying to do it right now with the Jabberdoo. And it came to pass, when the sons of men had increased, that in those days there were born to them fair and beautiful daughters. And the angels, the sons of heaven, saw them and desired them. And they said to one another, "Come, let us choose for ourselves wives from the children of men. Let us beget for ourselves children." And they were in all 200, and they came down on Ardis, which is the summit of Mount Hermon. They called the mountain Hermon because on it they swore and bound one another with curses. All right. When the fallen angels had established an outpost on Mount Hermon, it was Antarctica, that summit of Mount Hermon. And they called the mountain Hermon because on it they swore and bound one another with curses. Okay. All right. While the fallen angels had established an outpost on Mount Hermon, it was Antarctica that they would be removed to ultimately after losing the heavenly battle with the righteous angels, according to Ben Nunn's analysis of the book of Enoch. All right. Ben Nunn cites passages from the book of Enoch which are very suggestive of Antarctica, as indeed the location where Enoch was taken to witness celestial events. Now, Enoch is an apocryphal book, so it was in the King James Version. It was taken out by King James. "And I saw the winds of the earth, which support the clouds, and I saw the paths of the angels. I saw at the end of the earth the firmament of heaven above." This is where Admiral Byrd discovered the firmament. He saw it for himself. "And I went towards the south, and it was burning day and night, where there were seven mountains of precious stones, three towards the east and three towards the south. And those towards the east were of colored stone, and one was of pearl, and one of healing stone, and those towards the south of red stone. And at the middle one reached to heaven, like the throne of the Lord of Stibium. And the top of the throne was of sapphire," it's probably Polaris, because that's directly where God's throne is, right above Polaris. What's interesting is the above passage that Enoch refers to a location that was burning day and night. Ben Nunn believes that this fits the description of Antarctica during the Southern Hemisphere summer season when there is 24-hour daylight or sunlight. Regarding the seven mountains, this appears to refer to Mount Vinson in the Sentinel Range of Antarctica, according to Ben Nunn. He also refers to six nearby mountains in the range that might qualify as the mountains described in the Book of Enoch. Mount Vinson is the highest mountain in Antarctica and is located towards the middle of the Sentinel Range. It would have stood out just as spectacularly with its snow-capped peaks in ancient times as it does today. Ben Nunn's conjecture is interesting, but as one can see from the map showing the Sentinel Range where Mount Vinson is situated, there are far more than seven mountains in the range. Ben Nunn's conjecture is not conclusive, as he himself points out. Nevertheless, he gives us a possible location of the imprisoned fallen angels, Mount Vinson, and our six other mountains in the Sentinel Range. Ben Nunn goes on to discuss the Book of Enoch and its reference to imprisoned fallen angels that were removed from Mount Hermon to Antarctica. And like a spirit questioning me, the angel said, "This is the place of the end of the heaven and earth. This is the prison of the stars of heaven and the host of heaven. And the stars which roll over the fire, these are the ones which transgressed the command of the Lord from the beginning of their rising, because they did not come out at their proper times. And he was angry with them and bound them until the time of the consummation of their sin in the year of mystery." Ben Nunn's reference to the fallen angels still being alive in their Antarctic prison raises an intriguing possibility. The Book of Enoch describes a future year of mystery when they are liberated. In this, an event we will shortly witness. Or is this an event we will shortly witness? For an answer, we can begin by analyzing some intriguing parallels between Ben Nunn's analysis of the Book of Enoch and the recent disclosures of secret space program whistleblower Corey Good concerning Antarctica. He's been to the site. Like the pre-diluvian biblical figure Enoch, Good says he has also been taken to witness celestial events by a recently arrived group of highly evolved extraterrestrials called the Spear Bean Alliance. Like Enoch, Good has also been asked to act as an intermediator for both sides in a heavenly or solar system-wide conflict. Good says this began in March 2015 when he accepted the role as a delegate of the Spear Bean Alliance in ongoing negotiations between different factions and groups from both Earth and off-world civilizations. Now we know, was it Eisenhower was the one that met with the Greys? Good said that he has been taken to Antarctica twice to witness events. The most recent in January 2015 or 17 involved him viewing the remains of a pre-endemic civilization that had flourished until a major global catastrophe corresponding with the Great Flood that destroyed coastal cities and low-lying land all over the world around 12 or 13,000 years ago. Well, we know it wasn't 12 or 13,000 years ago. Good said that the pre-Adamist survived by entering status chambers in the largest of 3 miles long motherships that crash-landed on Earth around 60,000 years ago. After the pre-Adamites were expelled from the moon due to a conflict with the dominant extraterrestrial factions there. And some of the stuff that I didn't really look into it too far, but they were talking about the astronauts when they did go to the moon, that they saw things that scared them. And they think it was these, whatever. I mean, I guess they could have gone to the moon because it's still within the dome. The pre-Adamites set up their major base of operations in Antarctica and established outposts in Asia, Europe, and the Americas, according to Good. Conflict soon emerged between the pre-Adamites and other human-looking extraterrestrial groups who had been conducting 22 genetic experiments with surface humanity for nearly 500,000 years. I guess that could be possible. We don't know how many times the devil's done this over and over. We really don't. This is where Good's historical account resonates with Ben Nunn's analysis of the Book of Enoch. Good's pre-Adamites appear to be the same fallen angels described in the Book of Enoch in terms of their interbreeding and or genetic experiments with the human population. In the case of the Mount Hermon landing of the 200 fallen angels, this is consistent with Good's claim that the pre-Adamites established colonies all over the earth where they genetically altered the local humans and installed hybrids into leadership positions. So these people we're dealing with today, are they really real people? I don't know. Regarding the righteous angels described in the Book of Enoch, these appeared to be the extraterrestrial groups that had been conducting 22 long-term genetic experiments which were being interfered with by the pre-Adamites. The Spear Bean Alliance, insofar as they have leveled the playing field for constructive negotiations between different space programs and extraterrestrial factions, the modern-day fallen and righteous angels appear to be playing a similar role to the all-knowing Lord mentioned in the Book of Enoch. Ben Nunn's analysis that the fallen angels were imprisoned in Antarctica and are still alive corresponds with Good's claim that the pre-Adamites are in status chambers on one of their massive motherships buried deep below the Antarctic ice shelf. Think about Khan, the second, whenever the Star Trek came out with their movies after the TV series, the second one was The Wrath of Khan. And where were they? They were in these chambers. Can't make this stuff up. They're getting it from somewhere. Finally, Good has revealed that excavations in Antarctica are underway and that the stasis chambers containing the pre-Adamites have been found. The hybrid descendants of the pre-Adamites, which are among the elite bloodline families that secretly have ruled humanity, are eager to gain access to the stasis chambers and to reawaken their ancient ancestors. The goal of doing so appears to be that pre-Adamites pre-assume once again, or to reassume once their former dominance in planetary affairs, therefore allowing their hybrid offspring to step out of the shadows and directly rule over humanity. This suggests that the year of mystery mentioned in the Book of Enoch, when the fallen angels are liberated, may be very close. Just something to think about, y'all. There is article after article after article of this kind of stuff. Like I said, you can't make this stuff up. But what I pray for is full disclosure. That is what needs to come. All right.